Testivity Audio Course, Property and Casualty, Module 3, General Insurance Concepts.
An insurance contract is fundamentally based on the utmost good faith of all parties to the contract. The applicant is relying on the promise to pay made by the insurer. The insurer is relying on the truthfulness of the statements made by the applicant on the application. Insurance is also based on the law of contract. For any contract to be valid and enforceable, four conditions must be met. First, there must be an exchange of consideration by both parties. Second, an offer must be made by one party and acceptance of that offer made by the other party. Third, all parties to the contract must be legally capable of entering into a contract. Fourth, the purpose of the contract must be legal. There must be an exchange of consideration for the contract to be valid. The insurer's consideration is its promise to pay policy benefits should the insured suffer a covered loss, or the insurer's acceptance of risk. The applicant's consideration, obviously, is the premium. Offer and acceptance. The offer made by one party must be accepted by the other on an unconditional basis. An applicant makes the offer by completing an application. It is either accepted by the insurer as is, or the insurer may make a counteroffer by proposing a rated policy. In the end, both parties either agree to the final terms of the policy, or there is no contract. Legal capacity. Both parties must be legally capable of entering into a contractual agreement. If the insurer is admitted or authorized in the state, it has legal capacity. The applicant has legal capacity unless he or she is a minor, is mentally incompetent, is intoxicated, or under the influence of narcotics. Lastly, legal purpose. A valid contract must be for a legal purpose and not against public policy. A life insurance policy purchased with the intent to have the insured killed is an obvious example of an invalid contract. For an insurance contract to be valid, there must be an insurable interest between the applicant or owner and the insured. Insurance contracts are unique in that the applicant must purchase the policy as written without any opportunity to modify or clarify the contract language. Through the years, the court system has used the doctrine of adhesion to interpret ambiguous contract terms or conditions in favor of the insured, since they had no chance to alter the contract at time of application. Insurers go to great lengths to make their contract language clear and avoid any misunderstandings about the terms of the policy. Still, questions and conflicts do arise. When they do, they often involve the concepts of warranties and representations. A warranty is a guarantee that a statement is truthful. Representations are statements made on the application that are substantially true to the best knowledge of the applicant. If a statement is made on an application that the applicant knows is false, it is a misrepresentation and may constitute fraud. If the insurer can prove that the misrepresentation was made intentionally, it may void the contract and may be punishable as a Class 6 felony. Producers have certain responsibilities to the insurer and the insured. Under the law of agency, they have the financial responsibility of collecting premiums and submitting them to the insurance company. An agent has a duty to act with a degree of care that a reasonable person would exercise under similar circumstances. This prudent person rule is to protect the insurer and the insured from unreasonable insurance transactions on part of the agent. Producers are also entrusted with a fiduciary responsibility. A fiduciary is anyone in whom another party has placed its financial trust. Life and health producers are entrusted with the handling of funds and general insurance needs of clients. Producers are responsible for assisting clients in identifying and evaluating their insurance needs by gathering confidential financial information, establishing financial objectives, making fair and complete comparisons of differing policies. Ensure representations on applications are accurate and complete. submit applications and premiums promptly to the insurer, periodically review all of the client's policies so that any necessary changes can be made, and promptly deliver policies to the client and explain provisions, riders, and exclusions. When an agent or broker accepts an initial premium deposit with the application, the applicant is given a receipt. The type of receipt given can be very important in the settlement decision of any claims that may arise during underwriting. A binding receipt is the most restrictive from the insurer's viewpoint. When an agent gives a binding receipt, the company is bound to the terms of the contract being applied for. For example, an agent gives a binding receipt to an applicant for a $100,000 life insurance policy, and it turns out the applicant is uninsurable. But in the 4 or so weeks that it takes for the application to move through the underwriting process, the applicant dies. In this example, the insurer is bound to the terms of the contract and must pay the beneficiary $100,000. Conditional receipt still binds the insurer to the terms of the contract in the event that the applicant dies before the underwriting is complete, but only if the company finds that the applicant was insurable. If the applicant was found to be uninsurable, the premium paid with the application would be returned to the applicant's estate, but no death benefit would be paid.
A property and casualty insurance policy is comprised of 4 basic sections of coverage, including declarations, insuring agreement, conditions, and exclusions. The declarations page provides information regarding the property or exposures being insured. Much of the information in the declarations section is taken directly from the application and include, but are not limited to, name and address of the named insured, a description of the type of property to be insured, the location of the property, the coverage limit provided, the amount of annual premium, amount of the deductible, if any, the policy period, inception and expiration dates, name of mortgagee, if any, and a company officer name, signature, or stamp. The insuring clause provides a summary of the coverage or agreement between the named insured and insurer. More specifically, it identifies the parties to the contract and lists the perils covered by the policy. Conditions is the section that identifies the responsibilities of each of the parties to the contract. If a named insured fails or refuses to comply with policy conditions, an insurer may deny a claim or refuse to renew coverage. Most policy conditions are placed upon the named insured. For example, whenever a risk is altered or increased, i.e., installing a swimming pool after the policy became effective, the insured is required to notify the insurer. Exclusions is the section of the policy that identifies the property and perils that are not covered. Exclusions allow or permit an insurer to protect itself from financial disaster by not providing coverage for catastrophic losses.